భగవద్గీత 5.6. సన్యాసస్తు మహాబాహో దుఃఖమాప్తుమయోగత యోగయుక్తో మునేర్ బ్రహ్మ నచిరేణాధిగచ్చతి. గీత 5.6 ఇస్ సన్యాసస్తు మహాబాహో. సన్యాస అర్జున, టు సర్టన్లీ మహాబాహో అర్జున, యూర్ వెరీ పవర్ఫుల్ వారియర్. ది సన్యాస్ దుఃఖం ఆప్తుం అయోగత, ఇట్ విల్ గివ్ ఓన్లీ మిజరీ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ డన్ అయోగత, విదౌట్ ద ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ యోగా. యోగయుక్తో, ఆన్ ద అదర్ హ్యాండ్, ఇఫ్ వన్ ఇస్ ఎంగేజ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ యోగా, దెన్ యోగయుక్తో మునిర్ బ్రహ్మ, ద ముని హూ ఇస్ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ యోగా, బ్రహ్మ ఇస్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ ట్రూత్. అచిరేణ అధిగచ్చతి, అచిరేణ, విదౌట్ మచ్ టైమ్, సూన్ అధిగచ్చతి, సచ్ పర్సన్ విల్ అటైన్. సో కృష్ణ ఇస్ నౌ ఇన్ వన్ సెన్స్ హియర్ గివింగ్ is reiterating the assertion that he made in 5.2. In 5.2 he has said that both paths are good. Sanyasah karma yogascha nishreyas karau bhau tayostu karma sanyasat karma yogo vishishyate. He has stated that both our paths are good, both are nishreyas, both lead to the liberation. But, he says, among them, the path of karma yoga is better. So now, till now, from after making that assertion, verse 2, 3, 4, 5, Krishna has been telling how nishreyas karau bhav applies, how both lead to nishreyas, that both ultimately have the same purpose despite their different processes. Both are ultimately meant for liberation. Now, after telling that, after explaining that commonality, that then Krishna is telling the difference. So why he gives a preference for karma yoga? Because he says that the path of renunciation is difficult. It is distressing. It is demanding and distressing. Sanyasastu mahabaho. The path of sannyas, O mahabaho, O powerful Arjuna, dukkham aptum ayogatah. It will give dukkha for one who is a yogatah, one who is not practicing yoga. Now, why is that? That is because for us, we are inherently pleasure seeking. The Atma is Sachitananda, and because Ananda is a part of the constitutional fabric of the Atma, so the soul will seek for pleasure somewhere or the other. And if it doesn't get pleasure in at the spiritual level, it will seek pleasure in the material level. And when the soul gives up pleasure at the material level and is not able to connect with the spiritual level, then that soul gets misery because it's unnatural to stay without pleasure. So in the path of Sankhya, one has to, where one takes sannyas, at that time, there is the disconnection from matter, and therefore there is the loss of material pleasure. The material pleasure does definitely lead to misery, but still there is some pleasure and that gives some level of satisfaction, no matter how expensive it is karmically, but some satisfaction is there. On the other hand, when one goes beyond material pleasure, or rather when one renounces material pleasure, but one is not yet ayogataha, that means one is not yet connected with the spiritual reality, with the spiritual truth, one has not yet realized one's spiritual nature. So at that time, the seeker is getting neither material pleasure nor spiritual pleasure. And that is distressing. That loss of happiness from both sides is distressing. And further, the path of inaction is unnatural. Krishna has talked about this earlier when in 3.5 he stated that nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit, that actually we cannot live without action. And those who try to do that, they have to labor enormously. and it is difficult. Krishna will reiterate this point again in the 12th chapter when the impersonal and the personal paths are contrasted. And there he states in 12.5 that klesho diktaras tesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta higatir dukkham dehavad bhiravapyate. So klesho diktaras tesham, it is klesha. Actually, to emphasize this point, Krishna uses the word klesha twice in this verse. Klesha adhiktaras tesham, these people get klesha. Who are these people? Avyakta sakta chetasam, they are attached to the impersonal. And the relationship between that verse and this verse is that those who are attached to the impersonal, they are also inactive because they think that the ultimate reality has no activity in it. And because it's impersonal, it's just just oneness. There is no activity in it. And so they strive for inactivity, and that inactivity is unnatural. And avyakta hi gatir dukkham dehavad biravapyate. So for the embodied, progress on the impersonal path is dukkham. It is very distressing. So same way Krishna is telling over here, sannyasastu mahabaho dukkhamaptum ayogatah, that those who become disconnected from matter by taking sannyas, but those who are not yet connected with spirit, they are ayogatah. Then for them it's a very demanding thing. They're not experiencing spiritual happiness. They have given up material happiness, and they are trying to do something unnatural, that is giving up material activity without being able to experience spiritual activity. In contrast with such people, yoga yukto munir brahma. Krishna says that yoga yukto, those who are engaged in yoga, who's harmonized in yoga. This yoga yukto contrasts with the word that just came before that in the previous line, that is in 5.6b. Last word was ayogataha. So here it is yoga yukto. So those who are engaged in yoga, harmonized in yoga, connected through yoga, munir, those who are muni is used, the word refer to seeker. So it's interesting, normally the word muni is used for those who have renounced the world and those who are engaged in meditation. But Krishna uses the word for the muni, uses the word muni to refer to those who are yoga yukta. That means those who are active. So it's not that a sage has to give up activity. The characteristic of a sage is not a particular kind of action, that is inaction, but a particular kind of vision, that is enlightened vision. So if one has that enlightened vision, then that person is a sage, muni. Yoga yukto munir brahma. So muni is essentially a person who is contemplative, who is thoughtful. So Krishna uses the word muni also to indicate the point that it is not that only those who give up action are contemplative. That even those who may be who are doing action, if they are karma yogis, then they are also contemplative, they are thoughtful, because they understand the nature of reality, and they are aware of their own spiritual identity even when they are engaged in the material world. They're thoughtful. They're not just thoughtless pursuing whatever pleasures the material world tempts them with. Rather, they're thoughtful and they are discerningly pursuing spiritual realization even while living in the material world and acting in the material world. So, munir, brahma. So, this kind of muni, so thoughtful people, what happens to them? Brahma achirena dhigachati. They attain brahma achirena, without much time. Why is that? Because working, acting is much more natural for us than is not acting, staying inactive. So Krishna is telling here, because these yogis act, and through their action, not only is it natural, but that it is also bringing them some spiritual connection, because they are yoga yukta. So now, generally we use the word higher taste with bhakti, and it's true. Bhakti uses not just the higher taste, but the highest taste. And that comes when we taste Krishna, when we experience Krishna by the practices of bhakti, then we experience the supreme higher taste, we could say, the highest taste. But even when one practices other forms of yoga, for example, one practices karma yoga, even if at that time one has not yet conceived Krishna properly and one is not pursuing Krishna, but still, even if one is pursuing Atma and is trying to come to the spiritual level, the Brahman level, then even in that there is happiness. And if one's consciousness is clear, then one pursues the spiritual happiness at least to some extent. When the seeker pursues the at least partially the ananda that is innate to this Atma, which is Satchitananda. So, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as well as in the Upanishads, the hierarchy of happiness is given, and it is clearly stated that as compared to the Parthiva Sukha, the earthly happiness, the Swargiya Sukha is much better, much higher. But higher than the heavenly happiness is the Brahma Sukha, the happiness of spiritual realization, of Brahman realization. And beyond that, Brahmananda is Bhaktiananda. It's the oceanic happiness of devotion. So the point for us is, Krishna has not yet introduced Bhakti, and Bhaktiananda is not relevant. But for us here, the point that Brahmananda, the happiness of realizing one's spiritual nature, even if not completely, but at least understanding that I am the Atma, that also gives some higher satisfaction. And in that way, one is steadily progressive. And achirena adhigachyati. It doesn't take much time. Now, this not taking much time is a matter of relativity. It is not that it happens overnight. It can take lifetime. It can take many lifetimes. But still, the point is, it is much, the point that time required is much lesser than the point time required in the practice of Jnana Yoga, because in the practice of Karma Yoga, one is doing natural and acting naturally, and therefore, firstly, one does not feel that things are taking so much time. Just as when we are bored and we don't have anything interesting to do, at that time, time seems to slow down, and it seems to be just like crawling like a snail. And when we are doing something which we relish, then time seems to fly away like a rocket. So like that, that is one level of understanding, achirena. It's relativity of perception. But along with that, especially when one practices bhakti, then one gets a tremendous boost by Krishna's mercy, because Krishna uses his omnipotence to draw us towards him. And then we can attain the spiritual realization very swiftly. Even in the path of, even when one is practicing Karma Yoga, at that time also, because one is doing a natural act, one is being in one's natural state is acting, is not trying to be inactive, and because a person is connecting with spiritual reality at some level, and therefore getting some happiness, so that person moves swiftly, not laboriously, as happens in the path of impersonal inactive renunciation. So therefore, achirena adhigachyati, attain Brahman realization perfection quickly. Thank you.